They were a winning double act, men in trenches, women in factories. Together they were victorious at the end of the bloody and brutal Great War a century ago. Life was turned on its head when our soldiers, so innocent about the horrors which lay ahead, marched off to war. Some never to return, others came back with appalling injuries. Meanwhile, it was the women running homes and looking after families who took their place on the shop floor, working in the factories, making a huge range of goods in Norwich alone, from bars of chocolate to aircraft. Their role in the war effort is all too often overlooked. They were living on the breadline, many in rat-infested slums, working day and night to keep a family together while husbands, fathers and brothers were at war. Norwich Components Limited, part of world-famous Bolton & Paul, was a special factory established in the city, run by what was described as girl labour. It was they who worked out the fuses for shells they were making were useless and put things right. Eventually, around 400 women were turning out around 36,000 fuses a week at the factory, which burned down in September 1917. Disaster? Yes, but within 3 months the women were back at work, this time in the old skating rink. By the time of the armistice, more than 2 million fuses had been produced by the company, and more than £150,000 had found its way into the pockets of the 970 women and 250 men who'd been employed at this one factory. And it wasn't all hard work and misery. Norwich Components, along with many other factories and workplaces across the county, formed social committees offering dancing and musical entertainment, along with hockey, tennis and the like. Within a few days of the armistice, the company was ordered to close down and pay off their hands. William Fisk of Bolton & Paul wrote at the time, "Everybody felt sorry when the works were closed, but they had the satisfaction of knowing that at a critical time in their country's need, they had done their bit and helped to supply the munitions so urgently called for by the men who were so bravely fighting for home and country." Women were also working at Lawrence Scott, making munitions, making other places of work, and of course in the huge shoe factories dotted across the city, turning out millions of all kinds of footwear, which was sent to the troops on the front line and in the military rest camps and hospitals. Take the work at Howlett & White, one of the oldest shoe companies in the city, for example. They made 453,000 boots and shoes for the British armies, 32,000 boots for the Allies and 21,000 British aviation boots. Meanwhile, Bolton & Paul and Man Egerton were building aeroplanes while Cayley's was making its famous marching chocolate bars with milk from Garrett Taylor's celebrated Whittingham herd of Red Poll cattle. It was sent to the front from Norwich. All this and more was possible because of the hard work by the women of Norwich and Norfolk. And then there were the nurses and the members of the Red Cross, who had the often heartbreaking job of caring for the men brought back from the war with terrible injuries. Some were visual, while others were not. They had been to hell and back. No fewer than 44,651 men passed through the Norfolk War Hospital at Thorpe, while at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, the Eastern Daily Press ward gave accommodation for the wounded soldiers. Convoy after convoy was received. It was in October of 1918 that Queen Alexandra and Princess Victoria visited the hospital, and the Queen expressed her warm appreciation of all that was being done for the patients. There were smaller hospitals spread across the city and county where so much good work was done by the brilliant nurses. Today, we take time to remember and salute them.